Jim Elliott and four other missionaries, Nate Saint, Ed McCauley, Peter Fleming, and Roger Udarian, were seeking to reach out to a fierce Ecuadorian tribe known as the Alcas when those same Indians turned on them. The shocking news of the deadly attack spread around the world. But Jim's widow, Elizabeth, surprised many when she and her young daughter, Valerie, lived there with the same tribe for 2 years, helping them learn about the love and forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. On Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares with you the lessons learned through that and many other events in her remarkable journey. Thanks for joining us for Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, back again today to talk about a quiet and humble life. There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians 4:11 that says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. If you're in the public eye, much is expected and much is required. And that's as it should be. We have a responsibility to set an example. Do you complain because too much is expected of you? Don't resent it. Thank God for the position He has put you in, and ask Him for help to live your life in a way that is honoring to Him in that place. Oswald Chambers said, if you are going to cooperate with God in His redemptive work, He will make your life a thoroughfare. That has been such a comfort to me, to realize that though my life is in many ways like a thoroughfare, it's God who made it that way. And therefore, it's God who's going to help me to know how to behave in that place. Have you received many honors? Receive them graciously, without making a fuss. Amy Carmichael was to be decorated by the Queen of England, Queen Victoria, and she was asked to go to Bombay to receive the citation. She wanted to remain anonymous, but Amy Carmichael had started a wonderful work in South India called the Donavur Fellowship, which grew to be a very large family of boys and girls and caretakers, Indian men and women, and European missionaries. The family numbered over 900. There was no way that Amy Carmichael could remain anonymous. She had thought of writing her books under a pen name, but she felt that that could not be done without fuss. So when she was told that she was going to receive this honor, she felt that she did not deserve it, and she wondered if there was any way that she could refuse it. She decided that that would be too much fuss. But she did politely request that she be allowed not to come in person to receive that honor. There have been many things that people have asked me to do because I have been placed in the public eye. Often, my response is an automatic, no, I'm not going to do that. And often again, God checks me and says, but your life is not your own. I am not my own. I am bought with a price. Therefore, I am to glorify God in the way that He wants me to glorify Him. He is my master. I am His property. So, as much as I want to live a quiet and a hidden life, that has not been possible in recent years. But there was a time when it was very possible. I lived hidden, as it were, in the jungle. Hidden from the outside world, hidden from my own countrymen, but yet at the same time, dreadfully exposed to the Indians with whom I was living. I lived in a house that had no walls. Can you imagine that? It was six poles with a thatched roof. People could come and go. Bugs could come and go. They mostly came. Snakes. And, of course, animals. Now, we didn't have to worry about wild animals coming in and doing any damage. They didn't generally want to come into a clearing where there were a lot of people. Everybody lived in the same kind of a house. There were about six or eight small thatched roof houses in that clearing, and my daughter-in-law and I lived in one of them. But the pet animals, the dogs and the cats and the monkeys and the baby tapirs and the parrots and everything else, came in and out of the house. That was not a trial to me so much as the people, constantly looking over my shoulder, going through my things, thumbing through my books, sitting in my hammock, trying out my tape recorder, saying, "What's this? What's it made of? What's it for? Where did you get it? Why don't you give it to me?" Those 2 years were a period of learning some new lessons. Lord, thou hast apportioned me my cup. Thank you, Lord. This is where you want me now. This is where you will help me to live in a way that glorifies you. In other ways now, of course, I am more exposed, but the ways are very different. And I pray that God will keep me from dwelling on others' opinions, from reveling too much in compliments. And many of you send me wonderful letters of encouragement and compliments. Thank you. I do say thank you. But I also say to God be the glory. Let it never go to my head. I have nothing that I haven't received. Those who aim at virtue, says St. Francis de Sales, do not trouble themselves about honors. Do you aim at a quiet and humble life? I'll never forget when my second husband and I were speaking. I'm not sure if we were both speaking. He was speaking anyway. We were at a strange church, and a young couple came up to us and introduced themselves, and the wife, with great excitement, said, "We're PhDs." Well, bless her heart, I'm sure she and her husband must have been just thrilled. They probably had only recently gotten their doctorates. But we didn't quite know what to say to that. I guess we should have said something like, "Well, splendid," or "wonderful." But those who aim at virtue don't trouble about honors. We don't get involved in cares, disputes, or anxieties. Love is the rule. Charity and courtesy, no matter how much your private space is invaded. Somebody introduced me not long ago on the platform as being a very private person. And I thought, I don't really have a right to be a private person. I don't know if I've ever said that I'm a private person. Somebody else was making that judgment. I'd like to be a private person. I just don't think that that is allowed. So when my private space, what I think of as my private space, is invaded, I can only say, Lord, you take care of this. We've been discussing what humility is in the external sense. Now, what about inward humility? Do you fear to even think much about the graces and privileges you've received, for fear of vainglory or conceit? It's a mistake. To attain the love of God, concentrate on His mercies. There's nothing so humbling as the realization of the abundance of His mercies. That's the best antidote that I know to pride. I have nothing, repeat, nothing that I haven't received. All is grace, all is gift, and whatever is good in me is not mine. There's a hymn about the Holy Spirit. Gracious Spirit, dwell with me. I myself would gracious be. Separate from sin, I would choose and cherish all things good. And whatever I can be, give to Him who gave me thee. Him is God. Thee is the Holy Spirit to whom the hymn is directed. So in other words, whatever I am and can be, and whatever gifts I have, I want to give back to God who gave me His Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, says, "Who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you didn't? If a mule is loaded with the treasures of a prince, he's still a mule." As Corrie ten Boom once said, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, the hosannas were not for the donkey. And Corrie said, "I'm just Jesus's donkey." The greater our humility in the truest sense, the greater will be our gratitude and vice versa. The greater our humility, the greater the gratitude. Mary's song, called the Magnificat, speaks of her humility. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." You know, Mary came from a very small town, a very humble family. "But from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but the rich he has sent empty away." Why did Mary sing? Because she had done something spectacular? She sang because of what God had done for her and in her. You and I may profess to be nothing, but how would we react if people treated us as though we really were?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.